is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 412, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast on going. Of course, my co-host is Ryan. I think he's a little happier this week, I feel.
Yeah, I forgot last week you were giving me crap because I looked a little sad, but that was not the case. But I'm pretty happy that, like, I got off work, got a haircut, jumped in the neighborhood pool for a little while.
Oh yeah, dinner, summertime. So, yeah,
it's great.
Nice. Yeah, I have not been in my pool. It is hot. It's like the hot season. Like the office here, and again, I know you guys can't. This is going to be backwards, I think, but it is.
No, it's right.
79 in here, which it gets up to like 85 when I don't have the air on, and I just turned it off so you couldn't hear it in the podcast.
It's
so
66 down here right now.
Oh, I wish it was 66.
That'd be it'll amazing. Warm up. Don't worry.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's definitely the hot season, which just means summer. Summer is. See, Sandy, it's like summer. Back when I lived on the East Coast was completely different than San Diego, because in San Diego, you don't really like summer because all the tourists are here and everything's super busy. So your summer starts in September, but
and it's still nice out.
Yeah. And it's still nice out. So that's what I like about, but it's definitely hot. You can definitely feel it. But yeah, what's going on with you? How's, you know, like I said,
it's good. Just finished up a review. I hadn't had anything in for a while.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. Well, I already read it.
So yeah, we can't talk about it. It's you can see part of it, like right.
Oh yeah, there. I guess you can see it. Yeah.
And we mentioned in the notes that it's a new AIO. I just can't tell you.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that. And I think I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure we saw a few other companies go with that design, and I think that's going to be a new thing kind of going forward that we'll see over this next. Next rest of this year into next year, we'll see how popular it is. But I already read the review, and Ryan had some concerns about the design. So we'll talk about that. Like I said, next week, that review will come out Friday. So definitely stay tuned for that. Old man in the chat says it's 78.1 in his office. Oh, we just hit 80 here. Uh-oh. I closed the door. We hit 80. So yes, it's getting hot. So if I start sweating, if you start seeing it through the shirts, that'll be kind of, that's why I wear a black shirt. So it's harder to see. But yeah, not a ton going on this week. I feel like we're like summertime is always sort of like a lull when it comes to tech, but we did have one review this week, of a pretty interesting graphics card. So we'll jump right into that. That is the XFX Radeon RX 7900 GRE. And first time checking out the RX 7900 GRE. If you guys don't remember, we did talk about it on this podcast that this card actually launched all the way back in 2023. It was China, Asia specific. It's called GRE or Golden Rabbit Edition because 2023 was the year of the rabbit in China. So that's what this card kind of signified. And it actually launched before the RX 7700 XT and RX 7800 XT. So it finally made its way over here to America and launched officially here in 2024. So it's kind of weird launch. And I think AMD just their initial plan was to launch it in China. And then they saw the popularity of the card. So they're like, well, we'll take this worldwide, which definitely makes sense for them. It's essentially a cut down version of the RX 7900 XT. You only have 80 compute units and you have 16 gigabytes of VRAM. So that gives you 5,120 stream processors. And then again, you're moving down from 20 gigabytes of VRAM on the 7900 XT to 16. Which I still think 16 is going to be great for a lot of people. Now, when it comes to the actual XFX card, I would say it's a pretty plain Jane looking card. If you look at it, triple fan cooling solution. The center fan is a bit smaller than the other two. There's not much to really talk about when it comes to the fans either. They're not like the MSI Torque X or the Asus fans or even the newer Gigabyte fans. They're kind of just plain. This card, then you have the all black shroud, nothing, no lighting or anything on the shroud, no design on the shroud. It's just all black. And then under that, you have a heat sink stack with multiple heat pipes within. The card is not necessarily that big in terms of thickness. It's just over two slots, which will make it more compatible than, say, a lot of 40 series cards that are a lot thicker there, as you can kind of see there. And then on the side, that will kind of show out if you do have a window in your system. You have a Radeon logo, XFX logo, but again, there is no RGB lighting on this card at all. So no lighting. And then you do have a full cover metal backplate here with the pass-through cooling, because the PCB ends about right here. So you have some pass-through cooling there. And of course, you can see the heatsink under there. In terms of power, no adapters needed because you have dual 8-pin PCI Express here. And you have the little indentation, which makes it a lot easier to connect everything. Two display ports, one HDMI, kind of standard. And again, you can see the thickness of the card there. It, like I said, it's just a very plain Jane card. Not much.
Yeah, it's about as basic as you can get while still having like the features you need regarding cooling and output.
Yeah, and this is a standard card. It's not overclocked or anything like that. It's just like the standard 7900 GRE. So that is kind of what you're going to get as far as this XFX card. You can see those fans spinning and all of that. And then when we get into our benchmarks, I'll essentially just go to the end. For me, I would say that this is really a 1440p card. If you look at 1440p, and it's going to be kind of hard to see, but in all of our game tests that we ran, this card averaged 127 FPS across the seven games at 1440p with everything maxed out and no AMD FSR or anything like that. If you're not familiar with AMD FSR, that's their upscaling technology, very similar to NVIDIA DLSS. So we didn't have any of that turned on or anything like that. And in 1440p, just raw performance, we got 127 FPS, which I think is very good for this card. Now, if you move up to 4K, we average 68 FPS. So if you did want to play games at 4K, you're going to get over 60 FPS in a lot of titles. It will drop below that in more demanding titles. And I think that's where AMD FSR would come in. I think if you're gaming at 4K, you would really need to make use of it to make this a really good card for 4K. But in all, you know, like when it comes down to the end here, it's like, this is a 1440p card. I really wouldn't recommend this for 4K. There's not a whole lot of cards you would recommend for 4K besides a 4090, just because of the performance that you need. But for 1440p, 1080p, this is going to be a really good card. Old Man in the chat said, is there much room for overclocking? I didn't do any overclocking on this. I would think I would say the cooling solution, it's good for standard use, but again, this isn't like a high-end cooling solution that you would find at a more custom card. So, and a lot of the more custom cards also do have a lot better power components as well. So like I said, I don't do any overclocking in my graphics card reviews. So I would check other reviews of this card if you wanted to see what the overclocking is. But for me, I didn't do any overclocking, so I can't really speak to that. This is the first card that I've really tested with AMD FSR. And if we look at FSR, 3DMark has an FSR test built in. And you can see this is running at 4K. So at 4K, you know, we scored 70.65 FPS, but we turn FSR on and we get all the way up to 138. So almost doubling our performance there, which is really good to see. And again, this technology is considered like continually getting better generation over generation. So that was really fun to test and see, you know, what we could get here with FSR. And again, there are a lot more titles now that do support this. I know, again, NVIDIA was kind of the front runner with all the games supporting RTX and FSR. You do get ray tracing with this as well, but it's not remotely close to what you're going to get on the NVIDIA side. So again, something to keep in mind there. And then when it comes to noise and when it comes to power, this card did, especially at idle, for some reason it wouldn't like go into a low power state like a lot of the other NVIDIA cards. So it was, you know, at 36 pulling 36 watts at idle, which was a bit concerning. At load, it's, you know, 292 watts, so not crazy high, but in the higher, especially when you compare it to like a 4080, which was a bit lower. So and then temperatures were really, really good with this, with the triple fan cooling solutions, one of the better performing cars, again, not getting extremely hot or anything like that. And of course, you know, those fans will turn off too when the card is idle, which is really good too. So and then noise level, the fans were a bit louder. If you look at our noise test here, they were a bit louder than a lot of other NVIDIA cards. And I think that is like an AMD thing, unless you're getting a highly customized card from an AIB. These like kind of plain Jane cards, they're going to be a bit louder. And that's been an AMD thing for quite a while. They do get a bit loud, but it's not crazy loud, but it is louder than say like an NVIDIA card. But all in all, I think this is going to be a really solid 1440p card. It will compete, I would say, directly with the 4070 Super. And, you know, the 4070 Super is like $600 or $599. This is $549. So it does undercut it, and they kind of trade blows back and forth depending on, you know, what game and what feature set that you want. But I think it's a solid 1440p card, and it is priced good. I think if they dropped it to like $529, it would fly off the shelf, but at $549, you know, a lot of people might just spend the extra $50 and get the 4070 Super. So it's something to consider. But like I said, I really liked the card overall. There wasn't any lighting on the card, which I'd like to see some lighting on the card. And then again, it was a bit louder than other cards we tested, but again, it is priced well, good cooling performance, a lot more support now for FSR. So again, if you're wondering like, should I go NVIDIA? Should I go AMD? You do have pretty good support for all those technologies in most new games coming out. And a lot of older games that you may be playing will support those technologies now too. So definitely check out the review if you are interested. It was definitely fun to check out an AMD card too, because I haven't taking a look at a whole lot of those. We're doing mostly NVIDIA, so you're muted, Ryan.
Whoops, sorry. Yeah, I feel like we haven't looked at anything from XFX for a while either, have we?
No. Yeah, it's been a long time. So it's good to see what you know what you can get. And again, it was cool to see this card that was only supposed to be really released in China, and now we're seeing it, which is pretty cool. So, check out the review if you are interested. And if you have any questions, obviously throw them my way on social media for sure. So, we'll move on from that to Case Mod Friday. Of course, that's where we feature a build or mod that's been done in the community. And I saw this a couple weeks ago and I was like, this is awesome. Like, if I was going to do a racing sim, this is what I would want to do. So this is from Liquid House, and this is their project LH1, and it's a racing sim where they've gone ahead and put a full system kind of designed sort of like an engine, you know, in the front here.
Right.
And this would be the ultimate machine, I think. This is awesome.
Yeah, I do like that, you know, it's all in one type of like seat, steering wheel, monitor, and then in front of you, yeah, you've got this powerhouse of a system that looks kind of, you know, similar to like a V6 layout and everything.
Yeah,
all the exposed tubing and components and everything is pretty cool.
Yeah, this is awesome. And I don't know if this racing frame is built like this where you could just build a system on it, but if it is, that's amazing, because again, it would have room for 260 millimeter radiators on each side. You put your, you know, your system in here. I'm not sure where the power supply is. I think it's under it. But
Yeah, it looks like there's maybe a section underneath. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, so like the power supply, this is really smart. You just, because like I know I have friends that have racing sims, and like, you know, they have the big tower right next to it, and this right. is having everything together in one, which I think is really, really cool. Yeah.
I like those fans too. I don't remember.
Yeah, these are the I forget what fans those are, but they talked about them. They're really high performance fans too, specifically made for computers and radiators. So, but yeah, really, really, really awesome. I would love this so much. Like to have just a racing sim you can sit down with. It has a 4090, so you know you're gonna get good performance. This is probably a.
Well, then it looks like it's a Cooler Master seat because it's got it is
the Cooler Master seat. It's the
and the stand too had a Cooler Master logo.
Yeah, it's the Cooler Master Dynex. Okay, so it is similar. Yeah,
maybe they do make a platform for it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that platform is custom or not, but in any case, it's awesome. And then you have this distro block over here. I don't know if you saw this, Ryan, over here.
Yep.
That's pretty cool to see as well. So
yeah, I like the anodized aluminum tubing organizer. Like there's two of them, the purple on the tubes up top.
Oh, right here.
Right? Like anodized aluminum looks really nice there.
Yeah, these right here that Ryan's talking about. Yeah, it just all goes together. Obviously, the purple for Cooler Master. Man, I want one of these so bad. I just wouldn't. I would like use it for like, but then I wouldn't use like I don't play racing games. I don't even know the last racing
game. They're fun though when people come over and they want to try. You know, like it's a good like party hangout. Like, all right, your turn, right? Like we're gonna have a competition. Like who has the fastest lap or something.
Old man in the chat said, "I'd be afraid of jostling the system since it's attached to the wheel." Yeah, but I think these are like pretty. Like these don't really move. I don't know. I've been in a couple of them where like it felt pretty sturdy, you know, when you're gaming, and you've sat in a few of these.
Yeah, I was gonna say usually every year at CES I sit in at least two of these types of setups, and they're usually pretty solid.
Yeah, but
and really like I wouldn't be afraid of anything really moving outside of maybe the graphics card wiggling in this one, but everything else is solid state, right? Like
yeah,
so.
Yeah, and the graphics card, I think it's just held down on the one end. I don't see any support on the other end.
Oh, there it is. I guess just right there.
Yeah.
I like a bracket going across.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Because the 4090s, that's a beast of a card. It's just big. It's just, you know what I mean? Yep. But again, you're not having it, you know, I don't know. But in any case, super awesome. Shout out to Liquid House for that one. Just an awesome, awesome system and one that I would absolutely love to have. We'll move on to news already. I think we're flying through this podcast might just be a half an hour. There's not a whole lot of news this week either. So we talked about it last week, NVIDIA's evaluation, you know, most valuable publicly traded company in the world, literally everything is using AI. Like everything is having some AI component that goes out to the cloud, and you know, some like we are trying to do it locally. We talked about that with Microsoft Copilot Plus and the little AI chips that we're going to see. But a lot of, again, ChatGPT and some of the other ones, it's all done in the cloud. You ask it a question, it goes out to the cloud, does this thing, and brings it back to you. And what powers that, of course, is data centers. A lot of data centers that have high-end NVIDIA hardware, like the H100 and things like that. Well, there's a new AI chip maker called Etched that they've raised $120 million, and they claim that it's called Sohu, which is going to be their chip, is going to be 20 times faster than NVIDIA's H100. And they show, you know.
Seems pretty impressive.
Yeah. And we talked about this, like I said, with everybody, you know, and, you know, I'm, again, not a financial advisor, but like investing in NVIDIA. This is such a massive market. Obviously, I think NVIDIA is not going anywhere in this space. This is their, you think this is their most profitable space, data center, things like that, you would think, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So they're obviously not going anywhere, but there is going to be competition. The space is so big that even if you're number two or three or four or five, like, you're still going to be making a lot of money. There's a lot of money being thrown around. Obviously, like I said, these guys raised $120 million in their Series A. And again, they're making, you know, the specialized ASIC for AI, AI modeling. Go ahead.
No, you just said it right there, the ASIC chip, right? Just think back when we were kind of semi early on with like Bitcoin mining, right? And people were using GPUs and CPUs a little, but then you had these ASICs that people could buy from. I forget the company that made them, like Butterfly or
something. Bitminer.
Bitminer, right?
There was like BitAnt and and something.
So you could buy those things, and they were even faster than like a GPU, right? So have they figured out a way to do this faster than NVIDIA still trying to like tweak GPU technology and, you know, their existing technology? And so, there's possible that this could be, you know, legit numbers here.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting to see. So, that's where all the money is going, obviously, into what's going to be powering AI, what's going to be in these data centers. And it's definitely something to watch, you know, especially if you're interested. I know a lot of people are like, it's weird that people, you know, like 3 years ago, the normal average person that's not into computers or gaming had no clue who NVIDIA was. And now everybody knows who NVIDIA is. It's quite interesting. So, and like I said, they said that this Sohu ASIC is also cheaper as well.
Hopefully more power efficient too.
Yeah. Old man in the chat says, AI is now on eBay.
Yeah.
AI is being added to everything.
But it just doesn't, I don't know. Some of this just, I feel like they're just putting that buzzword AI onto things. Cause he says like that, you know, they're going to provide you and improve services, including when things are available, customized and personalized experiences. To me, that doesn't take AI. That's just like using the data about the person. And nothing about that to me says like, I need to be intelligent. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
AI to me, that's just like some better programming.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, like I said, it's pretty interesting. So for those who didn't get on the NVIDIA bandwagon, there's a lot of other companies to invest in when it comes to AI. I guess you just got to pick the right one.
Yeah, put a little money in every one of them. Not financial.
Yeah, and there's like I said, I'm sure you guys can I'm not big on the stock market and things like that, but there are a lot of AI companies to invest in, and obviously this is one of them. But that's a bold claim. You know, to say that it's, like I said, 20 times faster than both the H100 and the upcoming Blackwell B200. So we shall see. We shall see. So pretty interesting stuff. I know, obviously, we're never going to see these products. Just really, really interesting in seeing. Again, it always blows my mind that, like, people don't realize that it's hardware that's powering the AI. They, you know, even when you talk about the cloud, they're like, oh, it's this thing, but they don't really understand like what actually it's
data centers behind it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but back on to actual PC hardware that you might be able to get. Nobody knows if MSI is making this or this is a one-off or whatever. This graphics card was leaked on Twitter. And Black Myth Wukong, which I have no clue. That's a game, I'm guessing.
Okay.
I've never heard of it, but I guess that's the character from the game. MSI made I don't know if they're doing a collab or you'll be able to buy this, or there's like, it might be like, you know, when NVIDIA did the Cyberpunk, there was like only a handful of them. This card looks amazing. This sort of custom etched character on the back. And then it's the expert card, but it has a black shroud with sort of gold accents here. almost like pro art design with the black and gold.
Yeah,
Yeah. But this looks absolutely amazing. It is just an awesome looking card overall. I mean, this is just awesome. But nobody knows when or if this is coming out. The person who posted on Twitter, they were reached out to, and they said they were really cryptic on if this is real or if it's a one-off. They don't know. They didn't really want to say. Yeah,
it's cool either way. Like, I'm kind of interested to see, like, what is this game too, right?
And it really shows you, like, I guess with the black it would look better than the silver, but like a custom etching on the back of this expert card in general looks this looks amazing.
Yeah.
So we'll see if this card ever does come out. Obviously, keep you guys updated. I have no clue about this game either. I mean, we're not massive gamers here, but I've never heard of this Black Myth Wukong either. So not really sure what kind of game it is, but the character looks badass.
Well, it's not even out yet. It comes out in August.
That's why we think this was leaked, because the game is supposed to come out in August. This would coincide with the launch, possibly.
Huh.
You know what I mean?
Yep. No, it looks like it could be pretty cool.
Yeah. So, well, we'll see if it ever comes out, or if it's a one-off or special edition. What's your guess? I would guess that it's special edition, 100 units.
Yeah, it'll be a low count, like either a contest giveaway, right? Kind of like we saw with the Radeon cards and what was that? I keep on thinking Starfield. Kind of like that, you know, or some sort of promotional piece where you've got to enter to win one. Limited run type of thing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a limited run. I would like to see like 100, and then you can buy some. Maybe you could win some, that type of thing. Yeah, we'll see. But this is a good card to have the custom version of. You know what I mean? Because you have this whole backside that you can essentially laser etch whatever you want on, and it's going to look pretty awesome. And then you could kind of match it on this side with the little accent. So yeah, we'll let you guys know. I would love to see one of these in person as well. So definitely cool to see that for sure. From there, we have price drops. This is the summer of price drops. We're going to see them. We've been talking about them. Wanted to talk about three. And the first one is pretty tempting, I have to say. Because I always wanted one of these, and we talk about it. But this is a really good price. So the Steam Deck has gone below $300,
which is wild
for the first time ever.
Crazy.
Steam Deck, like I said, Valve is having a sale right now, so you can get the Steam Deck for the 64 gigabyte version, the LCD version for $296. On the, like I said, on Valve's website, they're, like I said, 15% off sale, $296.65. It's kind of like the base of the base model, but you're still getting the Steam Deck for under $300.
I'm not a big fan of the eMMC storage on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But if you wanted to get it to play with or just see what it's about, I mean, this is the lowest price that you're really going to find for the Steam Deck, and this sale is going on until July 11th, so you definitely have some time to see if you want to get it or not. But yeah, going under $300 for the Steam Deck is really awesome. I'm definitely a fan of that, and I still can't justify it. I was just looking at the this graphic here that's playing, and as someone who's playing, like, it looked like SimCity or whatever this is, some building game, I was like, oh, I could play a building game on there. It'd be a lot of fun, actually. But yeah, so yeah, I still can't do it. I wouldn't play it. I just feel like I'd be wasting enough money. Yeah. So also discounted AMD Radeon 7700 is now $247. It's the cheapest 8-core AM5 CPU going on right now. So all the way down to $247 for Ryzen 7 7700. Launch for $329 is now $247. Nice. So that gets you into the AM5. That gets you, you know,
DDR5.
Yeah. New motherboards. A lot of times, like, you know, these new motherboards will have like Wi-Fi 7. You know, there's a lot of stuff, you know. Yep. But yeah. Oh, these prices are just awesome. Like I said, it's going to continue to go down too till we have new launches. So really excited to go ahead and see that. And then the GeForce RTX 4080 Super, which is a relatively new card, was a $1,000 card.
Yep.
Is now seeing a discount to $949. And it's the first time it's dropped this low. So $949 now, and this is for the PNY RTX 4080 Super card. But yeah, a $40 or $50 discount on the 4080 Super, which is basically the best you're going to do before you go to all the way up to a 4090. And I think for most people, they would be very satisfied with a 4080 Super. I don't, unless you really have the need for a 4090, the 4080 Super is going to do a lot.
Yeah, like you said in your review of the GPU earlier tonight, you really only need like a 4090 if you're gaming at 4K and maybe you want a higher frame rate or something. So this is plenty of video card for most people.
Yeah. Yeah. So awesome to see discounts on something that's relatively
new. Yeah.
New. Yeah. Relatively new. Old man in the chat, he said, if I did a lot of traveling, I'd love a Steam Deck. Yeah, that's the thing is too. It's like I don't necessarily travel all that much. And like the downtime where I'm sitting, I'm typically not, you know, I don't want to like be on a screen, I'd say, in like my downtime, I guess. Sure. So I just wouldn't be. It would still be fun to check out. I love tech and like seeing, you know, and something that we've talked about for quite a while since it came out would definitely be cool to see. I still can't. I just wouldn't use it. So and then the last thing, Western Digital did announce a new WD Blue SN5000 NVMe SSD. This is a PCI Express 4.0 drive, up to 2 terabytes, or up to 4 terabytes, I'm sorry. So this is going to be their new low cost drive. So 5,150 megabytes a second read and 4,900 megabytes a second write. Again, this is sort of like their entry level Gen 4 drive, not super high performance, but this is the drive you're going to see in so many things, because it's the Western Digital Blue, and that's kind of, you know, in all the OEM systems and things like that, you are going to see this drive. And as you can see, no heat sink or anything like that. Obviously, you would depend on the heat sink on your motherboard. But yeah, 500 gigabyte model is 70, 1 terabyte model is 80, 2 terabyte is 140, and 280 for the 4 terabyte. So yeah, so good to see. I always felt like Western Digital was always so slow when it came to NVMe drives.
Yes.
I feel like all the big players really were. Besides Samsung, I feel like everybody else was very slow on releasing NVMe drives.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like that, I don't feel like when I got my SN, 850? Yeah, I don't feel like it was that far behind. Maybe it was. I don't know.
Well, Samsung was one of the ones that they were pretty close.
They're always, yeah. Always.
But Western Digital, yeah, they were. Western Digital, Seagate, I always felt like, you know, those are the big hard drive names. Like, those are the names that you knew. And so you, when we kind of made that transition over to NVMe, you expected them to be like right there, but it took them a lot more time to release their products. But good to see, like, very affordable SATA SSD alternative, you know, that's still going to be really fast.
I used to listen to the PC Pro podcast a lot, and Ryan Trout, who used to run that site and everything, he'd always say he was like waiting for us to get to that 10 cents a gig threshold on SSDs, and we're past that now. Like, we're even cheaper, yeah. which is great, because it was years of hearing him say that. He's like, we're gonna get there, and we've been there for quite a while on SATA drives and NVMe drives. We've been there for a while as well, but it's crazy how much cheaper than that we've even gotten.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, yeah, Storage is so cheap. Storage and memory is getting down. It's like I said, it's like a good summer to build a new PC or upgrade your current PC, or like maybe make the change, which I remember like 5 or 6 years ago, I made the change from SATA drives to all NVMe. And that's a nice change. You immediately notice the difference, whether you're loading games or whether you're loading into Windows. You know what I mean? You have, everything is just so much faster. So it, like I said, it's a great time to build. So many options, whether you're doing AMD side, Intel side, whether you're upgrading memory or anything like that. There's everything's available for the most part right now, and everything is relatively priced right. And prices are, as you can see, still going down, and we're going to see a lot of discounts going through the summer. We do have Amazon Prime days, I guess now it's 2 days, coming up next month too. So there's a lot of stuff like where you can find some really great discounts on things like that. But yeah, so really, that is our news for the week. That is like a quick news.
It was quick. It's 8:06. We're like a little more than half an hour into this.
Yeah, that's it. Not a whole lot going on. Like I said, the summer is, unless there's a launch, it's just like we did all the Computex stuff, and then everything that was at Computex you typically won't see till we get closer to holiday time and things like that. So we'll move on to what we have coming up next week. And we did talk about Ryan's AIO that's going to come out on Friday. Anything else you want to tell people about that we can't really talk about it all that much, but
no, it's just, it has some things that are like becoming standard with a lot of AIOs. And then it has a pretty, I don't know, like unique feature that I think could be beneficial, but needs some tweaks.
Gotcha. Yeah, I would agree. I already read the review, so it's
right.
I already see that. But yeah, check back on Friday for that review from Ryan. I will be taking a look at a Gen 5 NVMe with the mini fan. So it'd be interesting to see how loud this thing is. This is the CS3150 M.2 SSD with an RGB heatsink, and this is from PNY. So we'll see. See how loud this is going to be. It's a Gen 5, up to 11.5 gigabytes a second and 8.5 gigabytes a second. Right. So we'll see, like I said, how loud this is, but it has some RGB lighting. So I'm definitely a fan of that. And then I'm also taking a look at a new cooler from Noctua. This is more of their low profile cooler they announced a couple weeks back. This is their NHL12 SX77. So only 77 millimeters tall, as you can see here from the pictures. So more for small form factor, low profile builds. And it's interesting because, again, the fan mounts under so you can get that good clearance. So definitely stay tuned for that. It's always good to see a Noctua review. Because there are Noctua haters out there.
Sure. There
are people that hate Noctua.
I mean, I used to, for the longest time, I was not a fan. Get it? But just that brown and tan, I just couldn't get behind. I've grown to like it over the years, but it's not my favorite. It's still not my favorite.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that don't like the Noctua brown. But they have the Chromax now, the Chromax black. So if you wanted that. That kind of does bring us to our next question, and I get a lot of questions this past week. On we got a question: what's the best CPU cooler to run for a 7900X3D? What's the best for an i9 14900K? Like, we've been getting a lot of these questions, especially on YouTube. So I wanted to go to you, Ryan. On the AIO side, do you have like a top two or three AIOs that that you would recommend to somebody for a high-end CPU?
I remember, and I know I was like, performance-wise, I really liked the Deepcool LH720.
Was it LS or LH?
720. It currently holds like the top spot for our load testing in all-in-one coolers. And I found that to be true across multiple you know, like people that had looked at it. Because when I was reviewing it, I was like, man, this thing's performing really well. Has anybody else looked at this thing? And like everybody was impressed by it. So I do like it quite a bit. If you're looking, though, for a cooler that has like an LCD screen, that one does not. But I did like Deepcool's Mystic 360 that I just had looked at previously. That was really nice. The Asus ROG is nice, but very expensive, but has a lot of really nice features with it as well, right? It's got a built-in fan on the pump housing to cool the components around it, which, you know, sometimes in an all-in-one situation, you kind of lose some of that airflow that you would get in a normal like tower heatsink to cool, you know, your VRMs and things like that. Those are the three that I can think of right now off the top of my head that I think would be best performant and recommended, kind of across a range of prices too, right? That Deepcool unit wasn't very expensive, however the Asus one is, but you get like, I mean, the range of features in between those is pretty wide, but they're both good performing solid choices.
And I would say the Deepcool with the screen is kind of in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
Price wise, compared to the two, yeah. So
correct.
If you want to save some money and get good performance with the screen, maybe not have all of the features that the Asus has, you might go with a Deepcool. If you wanted to spend the money, I would say the Asus has everything, and I think it's one of the better looking out of the ones too. In my opinion,
I mean, we had a Cooler Master unit, the Flux, I believe it was. Pretty recently that I was really impressed with as well. And we have, yeah. Old Man also said he's seen a minimum of a 360 AIO recommended for 13th and 14th gen i9.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
You can maybe get away with a 280 or I'm sorry. Yeah. Dual 140. Yeah. 280 radiator maybe, but 360 is probably best.
I would say especially 14900K. You need a 360. You need a 360 to cool it off. I mean, if you do a 240 or 280, it might thermally throttle, and it's just going to thermally throttle. It's just what's going to happen. I would hope we get away from that, but it seems like we're not, at least not currently.
Then yeah, you've got to go to such a bigger case to get a 420, like a 420, right?
Yeah, that's why we've seen a lot of 420s come out.
The height thick. Is great because you can get that extra radiator fin surface and density in a, you know, like a 240 millimeter
radiator. And they just came out with the 360.
Exactly. So they've got that. It's got the screen. It is more expensive, but has a lot of cool features as well. I really liked their fans. They're thicker, just like their radiator. But I really liked that you know, they have their magnetic connections, the Type-C connectivity and hub, and you know, like the link and the number of devices you can connect in between each other on one channel of their controller is great. Plus they've got little temperature probes inside the fan, so you can kind of monitor temperatures right on the fans. So, and we've got, like, I think you're maybe pulling up, we got pages and pages of CPU cooler reviews on the site.
Yeah, tons of CPU cooler reviews. That's why, like, so Ryan obviously is the AIO expert. I would say I'm the air cooler guy. And I would say my top three, just companies in general, again, if you're looking at air coolers for a high-end CPU, whether, again, it's on the AMD side or the Intel side, you're going to go Noctua, you're going to go Deepcool, and you're going to go Cooler Master. And the highest end, obviously, when it comes to Noctua, is going to be their NHD15. That has been the sort of go-to air cooler for everybody. I mean, that's just, you know, for that cooler's been out for like 10 years, I think, or something like that, like a long time. So that's the Noctua. On the Cooler Master side, we reviewed the Master Air MA824 Stealth. The MA624 Stealth, which was one that came out previously, was also always in our top as far as performance goes. These are also just as large as the Noctua NHD15. So again, these are going to be extremely large coolers. But I really, again, think that, you know, just an awesome cooler, great performance for an air cooler. If you're gonna air cool something like a, you know, 14900K specifically, that would be it. And then on the deep cool side, be the Assassin 4. The Assassin 4, it looks like a massive block. I mean, I can bring up my video on it. We have a full video on our YouTube channel of the Assassin 4. I mean, it looks like a big block. I would say out of the three, the deep cool is the most aesthetically pleasing. Yep. Out of the three. And you can get it in both white and black. I know the Noctua, you can get it in, like, as Ryan calls it, the puke brown color, or you can get it in a Chromax black. The Cooler Master is only available in one color, but the Deep Cool is available in, I think, three variations now. So you can get it in, like the whatever the normal variation is, which is, like, sort of black with, like, silver heat sink, but then you can get, like, the all black. What do they call that? They call that
something. The thing is, though, you may not be able to get Deep Cool products right now.
This is true
because of some sanctions, so yeah. Something to keep in mind.
But those are the ones that I would suggest. Like I said, we get this question a lot on YouTube, especially when it comes to our air cooler reviews, but those are the big three. So my suggestion is any of the super high-end air coolers from Cooler Master, Noctua, or Deep Cool will be the way to go. And all of them are relatively easy to install, even for a first-time builder. The biggest thing when it comes to air coolers compared to AIOs is your space. So just keep that in mind that you will need, in most cases, a larger case. If you do have a smaller bin tower, it will make installation a bit harder. So, again, just something to keep in mind. But those are the ones that I would for sure recommend when it comes to air coolers. So yeah, that is it for the podcast. I would say I did want to talk about one thing. We always talk about tech. I put a video of this out on our TikTok. It was just sent to us for TikTok, but I think it's really cool. So this is do you remember, Ryan, we did the we did the review. I don't have it. Oh, I wish I had it here.
The little drive with the screen.
The little M.2 drive from Charge. This is their Charge Geek 170. It's a portable charger, so it has connections on the bottom here. Two Type-C, one Type-A. So it's like a normal mobile charger, but it's a lot more than that. One, it has this really cool, so much glare, but it has a really cool screen on it. So this is going to show you how much charge you have. It will show you if you're charging into it. It will show you how much power and wattage is going to come in and how long in time till you're fully charged. But then when you're charging out, it will show you how much power you have coming out and then how much time is left in the charge for this. So if you're charging something, be like, you have 4 hours left of charging. You know what I mean? So that's pretty cool to see, like, have a live display here on this. I don't have it plugged in. I just have to hit the button for the screen to turn back on. But the thing that I really like about this, though, is that you can get 170 watts out of this at one time.
Across all three of those ports?
Well, across two ports. So each of the Type-Cs is 140. So you can do 140 on the Type-C, and then you could do 30 on the Type-A out. And it comes with a 240-watt Type-C cable. So you don't have to buy a Type-C cable that will do the high wattage. So if your laptop charges Type-C, which all new laptops do, you can actually charge your laptop out. This is 24,000 milliamp hours of power as well. So this will fully recharge. They say a MacBook, but like any non-super high-end laptop, this will recharge once, which is awesome.
Cool.
And like I said, you could, like, the biggest thing when it comes to, for me, like, I try to, like, every once in a while I like to work from a coffee shop, but it's like you're limited by your battery, how long you can kind of sit there. With this, sure, I don't have to worry about it. And
Have to find an outlet.
It's not that big. It's like super small.
And I love the clear.
You know, yeah, it's clear.
The battery cells in there.
Yeah. And it's airline safe. So you can take this on the plane with you. So it's really cool. It's
I can imagine like the guy TSA running that thing through your bag, like you're gonna get pulled back for that thing.
Maybe, but it's
they're just looking at it going, what the hell is this?
It's it even says it on here. It's kind of hard to see, but it says airline safe. All right. So much glare. It says airline safe. So you can take this on the plane, which is really good if you want to charge stuff, but you can also charge two laptops at the same time. You can do 65 watts each out of the type C's. So it's really cool. Like we saw this at CES, and they finally sent one over, and yeah, this is going to be like my go-to one. So we have a video on TikTok if you want to see more, see the screen and what it can do and all that stuff.
That's cool.
So yeah, so definitely go ahead and, like I said, check that out over on TikTok. We have Fogo in the chat saying hello.
Hello.
Anything else tech related you want to talk about, Ryan?
I don't think so.
Nothing. You haven't watched Star Wars?
No, mm-hmm. I've heard it's terrible too.
I've heard it's terrible.
I have not.
Yeah, I haven't watched Star Wars. What else? I was thinking there was something else, but I know I'm just, like I said, just over here sweating. I feel like I'm sweating right now and just working on a ton of reviews. So like I said, not the longest podcast this week, guys, but we will be gaming after this. If you want to keep on hanging out with us, Ryan runs our gaming stream, and that is over on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We're playing some Apex Legends. I'm excited to get some gaming in for sure. Oh, somebody in the chat said that Fogo said he just got the RTX 4090. Well, nice. That's gonna be a lot of fun to play with. I remember, like, whenever you get like a new graphics card, it's always the best feeling. I feel, especially if you're going, I don't know what you had before, but if you're going to, you know, if you're going, say you went from like a 1080, you know, you're like the all the people that have just kept their 1080s. And then you go to a 4090.
Oh my
such a great upgrade, man. Such a great upgrade.
Gonna need a new monitor.
Oh, 3060 to a 4090 is a nice upgrade as well.
Oh yeah.
That's a nice upgrade. So old man in the chat said he bought an EpoMaker RT100 on eBay. Which what colorway did you get? Did you get the one that I have? That's the Noctua. You can see it. It's right there. It's the EpoMaker RT100 that I have right there.
That's the one that has a little screen, right?
Yeah, that's one that has a little screen on it. Brian hates the colorway. Ryan doesn't like the puke color.
Sorry. It's not my favorite.
Yeah, no, but I really like that cue. It's super comfortable, but yeah, the colorway sitting on this desk, and I shoot a lot of content on this desk.
Probably didn't look right.
Yeah. I'm still using the ROG Azoth from Asus. I like this one.
Nice, yeah.
So, all right, guys. Well, that is going to be it. Like I said, we will be over on Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Thanks, everybody, for coming out, and we will see everybody next week.